Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Northern Transmissions. Yes, it's been a while, and I thank you for tuning back in. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Shade from the San Francisco band The Fresh and Onlys right before their show with Clinic. So I hope you enjoy. The Fresh and Onlys with their track Black Coffin off the 2009 release Grey Eyed Girls. And you can find that on Woodcyst. I was going to say records and tapes, but I think we're out of that era. So just Google Woodcyst and you'll get it. We first talked about the some of the influences on the band, including the psychedelic sound, and we touched upon as well bands like Joy Division and Buzzcocks, which have a heavy influence on the guys.
I've always had issues with how we label psychedelic music in general, and I think it was George Harrison that said this, but he said, psychedelic music is any music listened to under the influence of psychedelics. If you've ever gotten high or did mushrooms and listened to Buddy Holly, it's some of the most whacked shit that you've ever heard in your life, and it's really beautiful music. I think that the psychedelic state can be reached completely free of drugs, but I think it is more commonly refers to a way of listening to music that is where you've lowered your inhibitions to the point where your ego is removed and you're experiencing the music, with its maker, not to sound cheesy, but with the creator of the music. You're listening to it like they are. And that's what I've always kind of felt psychedelic music was. And again, some of the most traditional, like Eric Satie, the Gymnopedies, like that, to me, that's one, it's like a completely a music that can alter your being right in front of you. You know what I mean? If you're hearing that and you're really like letting the music, you're really absorbing it. I always kind of take issue with psychedelic. I feel like I've never been a fan of the the incense and peppermint psychedelia, the strawberry alarm clock thing, and it's like, I like the Chocolate Watch Band and stuff like that, but some of that stuff's a little too goofy, it's a little bit, Showbiz Pizza, the Pizza Time Players, some stuff's a little silly, but the era of psychedelic music that most people, I think, are referring to when they refer to us is the, you know, the San Francisco hate street thing. And that's definitely there. And I feel like it's just something that, it always will be, you know, for us.
I mean, because you're a musician and you know your way around the studio. You listen to an album like Unknown Pleasure or Closer and the sounds they were pulling off. Does it?
Well, I mean, with Joy Division specifically, they had Martin Hannett, who was like completely one of the most innovative producers in the history of, popular music. To me, he's as important a figure as like Gershwin, when it comes to music. He's, with Joy Division, especially what's influenced our sound, it's more of a mood thing, where I love the hypnotic feeling that you get when you listen to a Joy Division song, especially something like what was the song that was coming to mind?
Artistic Atrocity.
Hold on a second.
What is it? Transmission.
Transmission is a good one, but more specifically,
he's lost control.
Shadowplay. Yeah. Jesus, yeah. Shadowplay. You know, it's like when you hear that song, it's, I mean, I like, I mean, you really, if you close your eyes, you're completely, put into another place. Yeah. And again, it's like I was saying earlier, that's a state where I like to be when I listen to music, if I can get there. You know, I love that, just being transported, to a different time and especially a different place. I look for that every time I listen to any song. I want to feel like I'm somewhere else.
Thanks again for listening to Northern Transmissions. I hope you're enjoying my chat with Shade from the Fresh and Onlys. Next, we talked about being the backup band for the wonderful Sixto Rodriguez.
It was such an amazing experience playing with him. I certainly hope that his health permits us doing it again, and it's something we would probably at this point, we would, stop what we were doing just to do it, because it's like taking a musical field trip a little bit as a band, because everyone kind of, we play together all the time as a band, but it's like going into someone else's songs and doing what we do and trying to like translate what he's, hit from his songs, I hope that it happens again, cool. But and you never know.
He seemed like I met him after the show. He seemed like a really sweet,
he's incredibly sweet man.
Yeah. Gentle and a kind person.
He's a total time warp too, man. He's still there.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Let's check out another track from the band's 2010 release, Play It Strange. Let's listen to, and this is a really great song called Waterfall, and that's on the In the Red label.
Radio, never lie. Well, the radio said that the TV's dead, the picture.
Next, we talked about working with producer Tim Green of the Fucking Champs on the latest release.
Well, he's been around for, you know, years in San Francisco, and I really liked the work he did on the Lungfish record.
Right.
He did the Comets on Fire records, which I really liked as well. And he just, it was intriguing to work with someone that was a little, would be new to us, you know, and have a completely different approach than we had, you know, making our own records, doing it ourselves, you know. And he's a great guy. And like when I talked to him the first time and I said, would you be interested in recording us? He's like, well, send me some demos and see if, you know, we match. And I sent them to him and he loved them. And that was really exciting. And then I knew it was going to work. And it did. It worked great. I, you know, would love to work with him again in the future. But it was literally just out of being a fan of records that he had done, you know, and he's around San Francisco. And I thought, you know, this would be a good opportunity to work with someone like him because he's, you know, someone who's made records that I like. And, you know, I'd actually played with him briefly in a band called Cite. And I played bass in that band and he played guitar and I was coming into that band as he was leaving. And we did a few shows together and I just kind of, I liked him. I liked his personality. He's very stoic and very calming person, you know, to be around. And I knew that would be conducive to making the record we were making, you know.
Are you proud when influential publications heap praise on your music? Like your latest album, Play It Strange, is, you know, some of them are calling it one of the year's best. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'd love to think that it is. You always, no matter how, I think, removed you try to be from, you know, vulnerable to criticism or whatever, I still feel like no matter what, if you get a bad review, it just makes you feel bad, you know? And it's, again, like I said, some of the, you know, anything negative that I've seen on Play It Strange is like stuff that I didn't necessarily disagree with. Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, you can find something that's a flaw in anything that you do. And fortunately, we haven't been slammed for anything like being unoriginal or soulless, you know, and that's what would really bother me, you know. But yeah, I like any time a website or a blog or a magazine writes something good about us, that makes me happy, especially ones that I respect and appreciate, you know, like that's, to me, it's really killer, you know.
I was going to say, I didn't want to name any, but Pitchfork was saying your album, it's one of the, they were calling it one of the best of the year.
Yeah, that makes me feel good. And I mean, the thing is like that website, you know, as cynical as people like to be about it, and as much as people resent its influence, they have some great writers there, you know.
They do.
They have some really good writers, and, you know, it's just an easy thing to hate, you know. It's just like people hating Vice magazine. It's just
easy. People hate things because people hate success.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know,
people really hate success.
Yeah, totally, they
it's
do.
Odd. I mean,
one of the great parts of our conversation was about the artwork on the cover of Play It Strange.
The artist that did it, is amazing. His name's Kevin E. Taylor. And the concept really, like, I knew that I wanted it to be a darker-looking record cover. I wanted it to be something less busy than we'd done in the past, not a whole lot of, you know, I wanted it to be simple. And the inspiration really was I was just literally laying in bed at night thinking about it because I was so overwhelmed with trying to figure it out, and I wanted it to be perfect because I felt like the record had a certain mood and a certain vibe, a very deserty, like sort of nighttime vibe, and I've always had a lot of romanticism about the desert. And I wanted to, you know, I was thinking about like my favorite record covers and the moods, and, you know, I was thinking about like Slash records, like early 80s. I wanted this like total like Los Angeles 1984 Slash records kind of vibe. And the concept of us outside in the dark in a desert wearing masks came to mind. And I, you know, called Tim, who's, you know, really good friends with Kevin, the painter. And, you know, we told him what we wanted, and I just described it to him really quick. And he literally drew it up in, like, 5 minutes. He's like, you mean like this? And, you know, and I was like, that's exactly that's what I was incredible. Thinking, you know. And he went for it and painted it, and we actually have the painting still. So it's awesome, yeah.
Thank you. thanks again for listening to Northern Transmissions. That was The Summer of Love off the Play It Strange release. Next, we talked about the decision-making process in which songs to actually release, seeing as the band has put out quite a number of singles and EPs and split sevens, as well as full-length CDs.
It's different every time. You know, a lot of times we never intentionally record anything. Recording just happens. And, you know, we write and record typically at the same time. We're trying to cool our heels and not put out so much stuff. And we finally have caught up with everything that we had agreed to do. And now we're going at a much slower pace because I don't regret anything that we've put out. I'm proud of every single note that's hit the wax, but I don't want to become a band that oversaturates. I love bands that do that, but I feel like we've done it enough, and, you know, 2 years into our, you know, time of making music, I want to, like, slow down and be patient and make every release a little more of an event for us and for people that like our music. But, yeah, I mean, we've definitely, we've done recordings and then looked at it and been like, man, this would actually be pretty good for that, you know, 7-inch we got asked to do.
Right.
You know, that's definitely happened. I mean, it happened with Hozak, the newest single that just came out. And, you know, I was like, we recorded this. They asked us to do a 7-inch, and we had just recorded this song. And I was like, that's a perfect song for that, you know. but, see, yeah, it does happen, but not always.
Here's Shade talking about the difference of being on the road versus the studio.
I personally enjoy the studio much more than playing live. Playing live is an entirely different animal. I love them both. But, you know, playing live is just so... it's exciting because it can go in any direction, whereas in the studio you're able to stop and start again, you know. I like the danger of playing live, but I prefer being in a studio. I like being creative in that way, and I try every night to reinvent the song when I'm playing. And it, you know, I play in a pop band, I play bass in a pop band, so it's a little difficult to, like, reinvent what I'm doing every night. And you know, I've never been much of a stage moves guy or anything like that, but it's different, you know, a different approach. But that's kind of a nice challenge to do, you know, live. But I would much rather be in the studio where I can play around.
We're not gonna see any Pete Townsend windmill.
No knee drops for me tonight. You know,
no knee drops. That's great.
Yeah.
Continuing on the live theme, we discussed being on the road with Clinic, for those of you who don't know, who always play with surgical masks on.
First of all, what a Clinic look like.
Dude, that was so...
Are they good-looking guys?
It's so funny you ask that, because I've been a fan of that band for years, and I love them. I've seen them probably... Well, now I've seen them a ton, but but I before the tour, I'd seen them probably, I'd say, no less than 10 times. And I absolutely love their records, and I was so concerned that on the first day, the first show in New York, you know, in New York at the Bowery Ballroom, I was going to walk in, and they were going to have their mask off, and, like, some sort of, like, you know, mystery would be gone for me, you know? But, man, and, you know, I was like, is that one of them, you know? And you kind of, like, look at them, you know, when I was first, like... looking around the room and everyone's setting up equipment, you know, and I'm like, wait, is that one of them? You know, doing this whole thing. And then they look like very normal dudes, and they're the sweetest band I think I've ever toured with. And if I could do another month with them, I would, because I never tire of seeing them. And to answer the question, the mystery is not destroyed at all. In fact, it's greater. I had no idea that they were such eccentrics. I thought that they were going to be more like... just like normal kind of cynical dudes or something, but they are true eccentrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, I mean, and really, really brilliant. Getting to watch them sound check every night and then watch them play, for me, it's a wonderful experience, and I love them even more now.
Here's another track from the Fresh and Onlys. This is the track Grey Eyed Girls off the 2009 album Grey Eyed Girls. Thank you. guys. I hope you're enjoying my interview with Shade from the Fresh and Onlys. In the final segment, we discussed the fate of the radio and music industry.
Obviously, the record industry is in a bit of a downturn. And you find it a little frustrating that that retailers are still charging like $20 for your CD?
Yeah, that's extremely frustrating. But, I mean, it's like all a part of, you know, the market and how it's set up. It's just not – that's why I don't criticize people for downloading, you know, something for free, because it's like, you know, everyone's in a horrible recession right now. Music should be free, you know, and it's like I don't criticize anyone that would want to, if they're going to get a digital version of our album, to download it on some, you know, pirate website. I wouldn't criticize anybody for that at all. But me personally, like I like owning like vinyl, and so, you know, I've never downloaded anything in my life, but I just buy a record if I want it, you know. And it's, you know, if it costs $20, and that's what I pay, you know. But if it costs $12, I'm much happier.
Yeah, true.
It is frustrating though, seeing a CD for $20 in this day and age. It's just like, come on, guys, get it together. Yeah. You know?
Is there any future at all for radio?
I don't think that the kind of radio there's just two different kinds. You know, there's college radio, which I'm perfectly happy with, and I get the biggest thrill when I hear that or hear our songs on the radio, you know, at a college radio station. When I'm recording a song, that idea, that romance definitely comes back to me. The idea of like hearing it back to back was something really cool. You know what I mean? Just hearing it, you know, hearing it come on like after a Suicide song or next to the Soft Boys, yeah. You know, but just that to me is like such a thrill. And I love college radio. It's like one of the best things, you know, ever.
Yeah.
As far as any sort of commercial success for us, I think it's very doubtful, you know, we're not what that kind of world is looking for, you know. And it's like, I'm fine with that, you know. I'm happy on college radio.
Thank you guys very much for listening to this edition of Northern Transmissions featuring Shade from the Fresh and Onlys. I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to producer extraordinaire Andrew Kallstrom, who I'll be sick, could never get this done without, and my lovely partner in life, Heather DeLong, for other technical assistance. And yeah, we're going to close this out with Tropical Island Suite. Here it is. Thanks again.